coming home through the Atlanta airport, Brad and I had been to a church leadership conference. And one of the things that I do when I go on trips is I generally bring my girls a little something back from the trip. It's kind of an expectation now. Every time one of us goes out, you know, we bring a little something back. And contrary to popular belief about what we might actually do at conferences, the conference started at about 8 in the mornings and would go to almost 11 o'clock at night. So we didn't, you know, go for 2 days and then go shopping and playing golf for a couple of days. In hindsight, we should have done that, but it's but you know, we didn't. So here we are in the Atlanta airport, and we've had no time to go anywhere to get anything. So we go into one of those news cafe stores that you see if you've ever done any kind of traveling. And we're just walking around, and my eye catches a couple things. The first one is a little snow globe with the Atlanta skyline. I didn't realize people celebrated the Atlanta skyline in snow globe form, but my oldest, Ella, she likes snow globes, and so I got her one. There's Atlanta, the skyline that nobody probably cares about. She puts it on her desk, and that's her little thing from Daddy. And then I saw this little teddy bear. It looked like a little tie-dye teddy bear, although it's like a little real teddy bear. It had a little T-shirt on, says Atlanta. I don't know why anybody would want a teddy bear that represented Atlanta, but this is a $10 teddy bear. Buy the teddy bear. And Emery, she gets this teddy bear, which she quickly names Rainbow Teddy. We love Rainbow Teddy. Rainbow Teddy is very special. And out of all the stuffed animals, and I don't know if your family's the same as ours or your grandkids or whatever, we got some stuffed animals, let me tell you, okay? We have loads of stuffed animals. I don't know why that is the celebrated thing to share when somebody has a baby. Here's a stuffed animal. I mean, and you just have mountains and mountains of stuffed animals. And about every 6 months, Haley and I go through a thinning the herd of stuffed animals, and many of them, you know, just miraculously sort of are reappropriated, and then we have a lot of questions. Where? Oh, I don't know where they went. Must have found a better home to live in. But anyway, we share this. So one day, inexplicably, Rainbow Atlanta, Rainbow Teddy, is gone. I mean, gone. So we search in this room and we search in that room, and it's this closet and that closet, and we really turned the house pretty much upside down looking for Rainbow Teddy. We had recently gone through a process of sharing our toys with others, and we knew the person we'd given them to. Hey, could you check those bags? Just make sure that we accidentally, I don't think I did. Did you? No, I didn't. Not sure. But we cannot find Rainbow Teddy anywhere. Rainbow Teddy is gone. Okay? And we think, hey, maybe it'll be okay. But then the lamenting and the weeping and the gnashing of teeth at bedtime begins, and Emery's upset as well. And so what we really do is every night we think, well, let's give it a couple days. It'll go away. She'll feel better. You know, she'll forget about it. She'll forget about it. Doesn't happen. And this goes on for a little bit of time, and Haley and I have these conversations where we say, look, I think we need to try to find a replacement of Rainbow Teddy. So we start to look. So I do what everybody does. I go onto eBay. I go onto the internet. And you cannot find these anywhere. Apparently, it was a limited edition bear. Now, I don't know why the Atlanta airport is selling limited edition bears, but I cannot find this. And I look every now and then, I think maybe it'll go away, maybe it'll just sort of subside, but it doesn't. It's just her favorite one. She loves this bear. Out of all the stuffed animal toys she has, Rainbow Teddy is it for her. And we're just struggling and finding hard. Then I find one. I find one on eBay, okay? The first bear was $10. This bear was not $10. It's from Colorado. Had a Colorado T-shirt. I had to think, I don't know if I want this liberal hippie bear in my house. Got to make a decision here. I ordered, Haley and I talk about it. Said, okay, we're getting the bear. We're committed. We're getting the bear. Okay, we're getting the bear. Don't tell her because, you know, we just it's got to be right. The bear comes. I mean, I'm tracking a bear. Like every day. I mean, I wasn't preparing sermons. I was just like, when is the bear going to be here? When is it going to be here? Her birthday was a couple days after we received the bear. And so Haley and I said, okay, we're gonna you know, give this bear for birthday. So now she has, you know, Colorado Teddy. Her heart is healed. it's just a beautiful story. Okay? 6 days later, Colorado Teddy, Rainbow Teddy, is gone. Where is this Teddy? So we start retracing our steps. Okay, where has Teddy gone? Like the closest Haley and I can figure is there is some vortex or black hole in our house that wants nothing else than Rainbow Teddies. Okay, I mean the toys that we don't play with, none of those go missing, but Rainbow Teddy is gone. So we're just freaking out. We're like, where is it? So we finally kind of narrowed down. We went for a bike ride. Rainbow Teddy was in the basket. We remember Rainbow Teddy coming home, but then we went on a walk, and it must have happened there. So in late November, about 2 days after Christmas, I'm in my pajamas at 11 o'clock at night, driving around our neighborhood, retracing our steps, looking for Rainbow Teddy. I have a flashlight. I'm getting out of the car. Rainbow, Rainbow, you know? Can you hear me? People thought I was a nut. And looking back, it was kind of an interesting thing that I did. So I think, here we go again. Okay, we're just not going to do it. So then I actually find another bear. This one is from Washington, D.C. I'm not making this up. This is the last Rainbow Teddy. Okay, like the last one that exists, I think. We get this bear. Okay, and we sit down and we have a very serious conversation. Okay, this bear is under house arrest. Okay. This bear is not allowed to go anywhere. This bear is agoraphobic. This bear is not going anywhere. Now, just to let you know, Washington Rainbow Teddy is doing fine. He's thriving. We know where he is. Started school, loves his new school, going to maybe try basketball this semester. So he's fine, just to kill the suspense there, okay? But then something happened. On January 4th, Julie has a lock-in. And we bring our girls up for the lock-in. And they situate where they're going to sleep that night or not sleep that night. And we pick the spot. We put down the sleeping bag and we unroll the sleeping bag. And out pops Atlanta Rainbow Teddy. Okay? He was dead and is alive again. He was lost, but now is found. Okay. What was lost is found. You can't describe that emotion, that feeling. About 20 seconds after this happened, I made her take these pictures. There is Atlanta Rainbow Teddy. That blanket was also missing. That was also wrapped up in the sleeping bag. You can just feel the joy in this moment. There is great joy in finding something, isn't there? Something that has been lost for a long time. And I know you have your own stories and your own versions of those stories as well. But there is overwhelming and unexpected joy in that moment because we searched the whole house, we looked everywhere for this stuff, and we couldn't find it. There's something very powerful about the search, and this is true for most of us in our lives. We misplace things, we lose things, and what we do is we search for them. And 9 times out of 10, or maybe even 95 times out of 100, we find that which is lost. The story of the shepherd and the sheep and the woman and the coins tells us that story. The sheep that wandered off unintentionally. The coin that accidentally got dropped and lost. Both of these stories share that these people, when they realize it is lost, they search for it. And the Bible says, until they find it. And that's how most of the stories end. We search for them and we find them. The story of the lost son, or the prodigal, as he comes to be known, is different. The shepherd looks for the sheep, the woman searches for the coin. But the son that leaves, the father does not search. The father does not go looking for the son. He allows the son to leave and does not search for them. When we understand this story, and you've heard it preached enough times, we know that the Father in the story represents God, and I'm not quite sure what we do with that imagery, because we like God the shepherd, we like God the woman searching for the coin, but what about the God who is the Father of the Son that chooses to leave and he does not follow? It's a little harder image for us to wrap our minds around. As I was reading these stories, I realized something. There is a difference in finding something and something being found. I know they sound very much the same. The first two stories, the sheep, look, sheep are not bright animals. He didn't know he was lost. He didn't look up and go, oh, I don't know where I am. The coin that fell off the necklace that rolled into the corner and lay face up, the coin did not know it was lost in that moment. Only the owners of those things knew that they were lost and searched for them. But the story of the lost son, the son knows that he is stepping away. The father knows that he is stepping off into almost oblivion and does not search and does not condemn and does not say, you are now lost. Haley and I were watching a movie recently. It's kind of a movie that not a lot of people may have seen, but there was one part of this movie where there was a brother and sister, and the sister had problems with drug addiction and the lifestyle that drugs led to and whatnot, and he is trying to help his sister to get out of this life, and part of the progression in the story is her kind of coming out of this drug-infested life with all these choices that she has made. And there's kind of this moment when she's really sort of stepped over the threshold and she's kind of past it, that she looks at her brother and she says, I'm sorry, I'm such a loser. And he looks at her and he says, you're not a loser. You were just lost for a little while. There's a difference. What a beautiful way to sum up how some things we lose, but how other things are really just lost. What have you lost along the way in your life? All of us walk through this life and we shed things, we leave things as we go. And some of those things were sad to let go. Some of those things we wish we could hold on to, but we can't. Sometimes it's we trust somebody and they betray us and we leave a part of ourselves there. It's a promise that was made that is broken. It is a sharing that is abused and manipulated. We leave pieces of ourselves along the way. Maybe emotions that we say, I'm never going to open myself up again. I'm never going to allow people to do that to me again. And we close ourselves off and we leave parts of ourselves and they become lost. And sometimes we long to find them again in our lives. Sometimes we do in inexplicable and spontaneous moments, and other times we spend a lifetime searching to gain back that which we have lost. It's that moment of finding that is so special and unexplainable because we didn't expect it. It's kind of the experiences of our lives. I remember about 5 years ago when I lost a job under very, very bad circumstances, and I carried that for a while. And I remember waking up one day, and it wasn't sort of anything miraculous or wonderful, but somebody said something, and I realized, that doesn't hurt me anymore. That doesn't affect me anymore. I'm over it. And I found a piece of myself that I thought had been lost back there, but it just sort of happened in a moment, and there was great joy in my life, and I think I went home and said, I'm over it. What a great feeling. I didn't expect to feel that this morning when I woke up, that I would be over a hurt that happened so long ago. Learning the difference between finding something and being found. Recognizing that sometimes there are things that I've lost that I search for, but other times I don't always realize that it's gone. Or maybe I do. But then there's this moment when I am found in myself. The ending of Luke 15 is peculiar because it's not the way we would write it. We would end the story after the pig pen with the son as a loser. His life never amounted to anything. Nobody really even knows what happened to him. He just sort of faded away. What a squandered life. But the story says no. He decides in his worst moment that he is going to go home. And he's going to prepare this speech, which he does. The Bible tells us what it is. And then he goes down the long, twisty driveway, so familiar, where he rode his bike all those years ago. And he goes home asking to be a servant. And I think sometimes when we read Luke 15, we become consumed with how lost everything in the story is. And that's not the point of the story. The point of the story is the son hasn't even got the words out. He is trying to reconcile his lostness, but the joy of the father overwhelmingly saying, "You're back," and redresses him as a son and seems to ignore everything that he has done. This is the moment where we would write the speech. And then he pulled him aside and he said, "Now listen, son, I told you so, and these were the decisions you should have made." He doesn't do any of that. In fact, lostness doesn't seem to even be a part of the story. The celebration is so overwhelming. And sometimes when it comes to God, we focus on the wrong things. When we look at our lives, we're always introspective about what we've done to ruin things, and God doesn't seem to be interested in that. He seems to just want us home. He wants us to find ourselves, and maybe the greatest revelation in the story is that when the son found himself, his father found him. And so I could give you some things that you could do to live into this story today, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to let you decide the ending. You're standing on the road at the edge of the driveway, and you know that if you keep walking, God will leave you alone, because that's what he does. He will leave you alone. But if you walk down the driveway, the fear of rejection, the fear that it won't turn out that way, preparing exactly how we're going to justify to God our lives and our actions, you get to choose. You can either accept where you are and be found, and God will wait, and he will wait, and he will wait. But you have to decide which way you're going to walk. Father, this morning, I thank you for these beautiful stories, these stories that reveal to us your heart and your character. And God, I know that there's imagery in here that is unresolved for us, because we would love nothing more than for you to just tell us how to do it. But Father, this morning, I just pray that we would find ourselves in this story, that we would be overwhelmed by the right things in this story. God, that as we sit in this room today, as we contemplate the line between our own lostness and being found, God, may we find you in that story of our lives. And may you use it and shape it, so that we can live more fully into your gospel, into your good news. May we find joy today. May we find you today. We pray this all through Jesus and because of you.